Hey guys, welcome back to the Love and Dubai Show. It's Thursday morning. So much going on this morning. We had an incredible interview with Sean, the man behind My Parents Are Divorced, and also the top story that's banging headlines today. The UAE condemns the terrorist attack in Iran.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in case you've missed the episodes or any other episode in the future.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Love and Dubai Show, where we talk about the top trending stories across the country and the region. Our top story for you today, such sad news to wake up to. The UAE condemns the terrorist attack in Iran.
As well, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid says the Palestinian issue will remain in our conscience and the conscience of every Arab and Muslim.
Dubai police received more than 14,000 calls on New Year's Eve. Hats off to everyone involved in that evening to make it a successful night.
As well, three address hotels have been taken over by new hotel brands.
Yes, they have. And later in the show, we're going to be joined with the man behind the impeccable comedy account, My Parents Are Divorced. He's gone viral. We're going to get to learn about him a little bit more. But before we get into all of that, our top story today, the UAE condemns the terrorist attack in Iran. The UAE has strongly condemned the terrorist attack in the city of Kerman, southern Iran, which resulted in hundreds of deaths and injuries. The attack took place during a ceremony which was being held to mark the 2020 death of the country's top commander, Qasem Soleimani. The attack took place at a ceremony and was the largest terror attack in Iran in more than 40 years.
As well, in a statement, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, MOFA, affirmed that the UAE expresses its strong condemnation of these criminal acts and its permanent rejection of all its forms of violence and terrorism aimed at undermining security and stability in a conservation of human values and principles.
The ministry expressed its sincere condolences and sympathy to the government and people of the Islamic Republic of Iran and to the families of the victims of this heinous crime. As well, it wishes speedy recovery for all of the injured. The current death toll is actually looking different across different platforms, but it is more than 100, with more than 180 injured. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the departed during these scary, challenging, difficult times.
Of course, this is a very sad news, and we as well wish them our deepest condolences. Now, jumping to another story, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid has said that the Palestinian issue will remain in our conscience, in the conscience of every Arab and Muslim. Of course, he said that as he participated in a segment of the Arab Strategic Forum in 2024 that is aimed at forecasting the economic and political future of the region. As on social media, His Highness urged a message for regional unity in crisis management and future building.
Summarizing, it's a time for us to come together. In a tweet, he said, our region needs to contain its crises, coordinate its efforts, build bridges of cooperation between various parties and adhere to its independent option to resolve its crises and build its future.
It's just amazing at this point seeing how much the UAE and Dubai specifically has stood by Palestine, sad, and during the Gaza war, whether it's through, humanitarian aid, or whether it's just like speaking up, speaking about it out and publicly, and just maybe raising awareness of the war. It's just honestly amazing.
Yeah, because I think when we see this, even this morning, waking up to senseless, tragic, scary attacks. And I think as individuals, we all feel alone and scared and not sure, how can you help? We can donate, but what more can you do? And then you see some individuals, I think you mentioned some of your friends, they went to the Rafah border and they're doing these amazing things. But also, you need governments to respond.
100%.
And we've seen the UAE just being impeccable in their terms of getting aid to where it's needed as much as they possibly can. You know, like there's obviously those country political difficulties in doing that, but the amount of aid that we have sent from the UAE is incredible. And you see, it's amazing to see what the UAE is doing.
And honestly, at this point, I think that it's not going to stop. It's going to continue because the fact that His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid has spoken up about it at such an amazing economic forum and just like highlighted a big issue and declared that this is not only an issue for Palestinians, but it's, as he said, an issue for all Arabs and all Muslims.
It's an issue for the world. We can't turn away.
Well.
We really can't.
Yes, and I mean, honestly, as well, like, it's an issue we've talked about it. We have mentioned the Palestinian issue, and we've covered news regarding Gaza like multiple times. Yes.
Speaking of the UAE and its impeccable management of things, we've spoken already about New Year's Eve, but now we have a very interesting fact with regards to phone calls.
Yes. When we thought that the New Year's Eve might have ended, it did not, as Dubai Police receives more than 14,000 phone calls on New Year's Eve. That is a crazy number. Can you guys imagine that the Dubai Police has received of a total of 14,148 phone calls during the recent New Year's Eve celebrations? Now, these calls were logged over a 12-hour period from 6 p.m. on December 31st until 6 a.m. on January 1st. It's like two different timelines at this point.
I just hope everyone is okay, because the last thing you want to be doing and the scariest thing I'd ever imagine have to do is to call an emergency hotline. But that's what 14,000 of you were doing on New Year's Eve, calling 999, which is the emergency hotline. But they did want to highlight that for emergency numbers, use 999. For other calls that you want to get in touch with authorities, use 901. That can handle the rest. As Colonel Mohammed Abdullah Al-Mahiri, Director of the Command and Control Center, commended the efforts of the staff for their professional and timely response to all inquiries and acknowledged the support of the public and reminded the public to dial 999 for actual emergencies and to use 901 for non-emergency cases or general inquiries. And we can just assume, although we should not assume, that 14,000 of those calls, I guess some were emergencies, some were not.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're saying this is the number that we dealt with. Well done to the team for handling it so efficiently. However, please be aware, if you have a non-emergency related call, it's 901, and that will get you directly through to the authorities as well as 999.
Yeah, as well, by the way, thinking like about this specific newsy post, is that it's like two different timelines. Can you imagine like calling it like 2023 and it's like, they come at like 2024. Imagine the joke that they're going to be making at this point. Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah, because if they're busy on New Year's Eve taking the calls.
Yeah. And like,
have you ever had to call an emergency number?
I mean, I've had to call the police because like I had like a lot of scam people and even like email. The other, like once I had an email of like, oh, we have special pictures of you. It's like, what do you mean special pictures
what?
Of me? Literally, they don't have anything. And I was like thinking at that point, I remember telling my mom.
I'm sorry, what did they say?
Literally, they sent me an email that, listen, I have all of these things. And if you don't send me, and they didn't send me like actual pictures. I don't have even pictures of that. But like, why would they send me such a thing? And I've told my mom, and I was laughing about it because I know that it's a scam. They're like, oh, if you don't send me $100,000, you will, I will disclose your pictures everywhere. And it's like, disclose them, bro. What pictures are you talking about? And then I had to call the police, and the police were like, oh, yeah, it's...
Did it feel like a bot or a targeted scam?
No, it's a scam.
Like, so like actual people behind... So it was a bot?
Yeah, it was. And because when I called the police were like, oh, we've received a lot of phone calls regarding that. And not only that, actually, I had to call the police once I wanted to sell my dress because like, you know, I had a very expensive dress and I wanted to sell it on Dubizel. And I had like, I don't know, a guy texted me the next morning. He's like, oh, I want to buy the dress. I'm like, why would a guy want to buy the dress? You know, that was like kind of like eerie to me. I was like kind of like confused for a second. But I'm like, you know, maybe he has like a business to
treating his friend. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, because he told me that he has like, oh, he has like this shop of like buying used expensive dresses. And I'm like, okay, that seems valid. But what was like a lot of like, there were a lot of question marks. One of the question marks were he applied immediately. I posted it at night and he applied the next morning and I wake up at 7 a.m. It's like,
there are red flags.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, okay, okay, well, fine. Let's see what's all of this about. And I ignored. I'm like, you know what? Let me go with the flow. If maybe he's real, maybe he's not. I'm not gonna. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm delusional. And yeah, because at some point you gaslight yourself into thinking that maybe you're actually the crazy person. Maybe you're just being like very like, oh, he's gonna hurt me. This is gonna, you know.
Got
I'm
you.
Like, I'm like,
but you wanted to sell the dress.
Exactly. I wanted to. And then he's like, okay, you know what? I live all the way in Abu Dhabi, so I'm going to send you a link. So
that old chestnut.
And he sent me the link. I opened the link And actually, I did Google before I opened the link. I did Google, is this even a thing? And Google was like, yes. I'm like, okay, fine. And I opened the link, I filled in all of my details, and then towards like the end, they wanted my bank details. And I was like, why? That's not even possible. However, I did put my bank details.
No!
But
that
actually, no. But,
Don't put your bank details.
The story does not end there, Casey. So guys, Casey's probably thinking like, oh my God, this girl is like...
It's just the time-honored scam.
Yeah.
I'm in Abu Dhabi. Let me send a Kareem box. Here's the bank link, the payment for the Kareem
box.
Yeah,
but it does not end there. And then it's like, I put my bank details. And I was like, thank God I was on my phone. So I was on my phone and I received like, you know, like this like OTP message that... I will need to give it to him so he can, you know. So thank God I did not get like at the website, you know, like let's say like a place to fill up the OTP. So when I got the OTP, he was like going crazy. You know, of like, oh, send me the OTP, send me the OTP, just send me the OTP, send me the OTP. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, bro, chill. I didn't even get it yet. Chill. And then a second later, I get that someone has been trying to pay to have a lot of money taken out of my bank account.
Non-sophisticated scammer.
Literally. And I immediately called the police and they're like, oh, can we have his number? I'm like, yeah, sure. But his number was actually not UAE number.
I feel like we digress, but what's so interesting is the only purpose I've ever had to call police in the UAE has been scams.
Okay.
And but like there's never been, because we're in such a safe nation.
Yeah.
So it's just quite interesting. And also like, I know my mom has been through stuff, but it's always like those pesky scam relators. So Marla's story?
I mean, honestly, it's amazing. Moral of the story is to, if you feel like there's a red flag, there's a red flag. I'm never going to be giving my bank details again.
Don't give your bank details.
And if there is a red flag, guys, trust your instincts. Trust your intuition.
Trust your instincts. Thanks, Ali. It was for comedic effect. We got a notification from Ali saying we're wearing neck mics. We're aware. We put them on every day.
Yeah, but it's
point
like,
taken, Alibaba. Point taken.
Yeah, we need to get more.
We do digress, so let's jump into our next story. Three address hotels have been taken over by new hotel brands. New names and new brands. Guys, just when you thought you were getting to understand the feel of Dubai and know where things are, an overhaul of five leading hotels has been announced, and it looks like we're actually going to be waving goodbye to three address hotels. So Google Maps, are you ready for this update?
Now, from January 1st, which has passed, 2024, the address Dubai Marina will be rebranded as JW Marriott Hotel Marina, as well the address Boulevard is now named Kempinski, the Boulevard Dubai, and the address Dubai Mall will be named as Kempinski Central Avenue Dubai.
So some of your favorite hotels now have new names. They'll also have new looks. That aside, also Vida, Downtown Dubai Hotel, which is a very cool, slick, trendy hotel, has become Hotel Boulevard. And Autograph Collection and Manzil Downtown Dubai Hotel has transformed into the Heritage Hotel Autograph Collection. This is a collaboration between Abu Dhabi National Hotels, Marriott International and Kempinski Hotels, which actually overtook those address hotels a couple of years ago. And you can expect each hotel to have a new look and feel. So you may have these on your radar already, but just take note that from January 1st, the overall is happening. You can't book into the old hotels, but I think you can book into the new ones.
That's sad. I'm very sad. I don't like change. I hate change. I mean, honestly, yeah, I don't like change.
I mean, you see hotels kind of rebranding and rejigging because there's so much change and transformation that sometimes like hotels need a new look, I guess, to keep the people coming through.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, back, must have been like 5 or 6 years ago, I'm sure you guys remember when Habtour City had that massive, three hotels there had a rejig. So it used to be Habtour... It used to be the St. Regis and the W and another one. So they were all together.
5 years ago?
And then overnight they changed. And can I tell you, I don't know if this is going to happen, but I booked into the new rebranded hotel for bargain price. And I had rarely stayed in Dubai hotels at that time. And I just was like, because it was the W and it was it was going through a transition, but they kept the hotel doors open so you could still stay. But it was a very strange experience because the branding in the hotel room wasn't there. which is actually, it's always quite subtle, but when you go into a hotel room, it's always on maybe the pillows or the napkins or everything.
That's
but
true.
We got it super cheap, and I just was living my best life. I thought, this is so cool. I think it was like a couple of hundred dirham in this like swanky hotel. It was so great.
Yeah, but so, you know, for me, like as Farah, I don't like change. So like this news makes me very sad because like it's like, no, where is the Dubai that I know? Where is the Dubai that I grew up
in? But you live in Dubai.
I know, but
it's
like, I just don't like change.
Theme is change and innovation.
I know. That's the thing, you know, like as well, Casey. It's not only, by the way, for like Dubai. I don't like change at all. I don't like change. I just hate it. It just makes me feel like, why?
And here we were yesterday looking for life changes for Farah.
Yeah. Life changes. I mean, honestly, it's not a... Yeah, that's different. That's marriage. But like...
Yeah. Alibaba is giving some amazing life advice, some wisdom, some extraordinary words. Can you repeat that again, please, Ali? Change is good,
and change,
and
is,
change
growth.
Is growth. The second one is from Masa.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I know it's all good
so
and growth. It is growth, but like I don't know. I don't know. It's just like, if I know something to be as it is, I don't like change.
Okay, so there's five hotels that Farah will not... be visiting.
I will be. I mean, eventually I'm going to be like, oh, fine. Khalas, I'll just like, then visit.
Okay. Okay, guys, it's 8:47, which means it's time for our next guest. We're super excited to have him back on the show. Sean Chidiak, AKA My Parents Are Divorced. He's actually in town. He lives here. And he'll be kicking off the Omar Dajali event, which is happening this weekend at Dubai World Trade Center. Do stay tuned. He's going to be with us after this very short break. Hey guys, welcome back to Love and Dubai Show. Today we're joined by the comedic talent Sean Chidiak, aka you know his account, My Parents Are Divorced. He's taking the stage to kick off Omar Dajali Namaste live in Dubai at Rashid Hall Dubai World Trade Center. But we're here to get to know the man behind those viral videos, also a friend of the show. He was back here like 2 years ago, I think. Welcome back to the show. We're so excited to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. It's nice to be back.
Thank you for being back.
Actually, I thank you for being back since I know you from university days, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know you like one-on-one. You know, we haven't like spoken much during university.
He was giving you crypto advice. We chatted about this before the show,
I'm sure because I remember I was at Starbucks. And I was sitting there, I was like, it was 2017, as he's mentioned, and I was like, you know, like, I was trying to figure out, like, my courses, my classes, and so on, and on, and on, and on, and on, and there was, like, prerequisites, co-requisites, and all of these things, and he comes up to me, he's like, oh, by the way, you can, you know, like, you can play this game, and you can get, like, Bitcoin, and all of these things, and I was like,
use my referral code.
What is even Bitcoin? Yeah, I have a very strong
I never got into crypto, that's why it's a funny story.
That story was that you're actually skating her back then. So you said you started working on comedy 2016.
Yeah.
Did you ever skit the public back then?
No, it was literally like just me and my... It was most of the time I was in the car or I was alone. And when I was bored, I used to send Snapchats to my friends. And then I saved them and I just started uploading them as just like for my friends to see. Because they used to ask me... like if I could save it and send it to them, and I got tired of it, so I just made a little page. It was private for a very long time, where I would just upload them so my friends could just watch them because they asked me to. And then I made it public just to see, and then I just kind of started picking up on their own. And then it kind of went through like a stagnation process for like 5 years, and then only recently picked up in January, I think, or last year, technically.
So what's like the, I've always, by the way, wondered, what's like the
schizophrenia,
secret?
What?
What's the secret behind the username, or like the name My Parents Are Divorced?
Well, if you would believe it so, my dad and mother are actually... So the page used to be called Laughing in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the concept was to make traditional like Western comedy digestible for like the Middle East. I wanted to be like the little Rosetta Stone between the two, like taking Western comedy and like that style of humor and making it relatable in our cultures. And then one day I was just editing my profile and then I was changing my picture and then it said like edit name. I was like, why not? So, and then My Parents Are Divorced it was the first thing that came out of my mind. And I had to change. I had to put like a underscore because it was taken apparently. So, there's someone out there with My Parents Are Divorced. Give me my handle back. And then I just changed it. And then for some reason it just picked up. Like it became a little bit memorable when I told people, oh, my page is called My Parents Are Divorced. They're like, oh, it's a good name. I'm like, I guess so.
You know, it's amazing that comedy is obviously a tool to make people feel better. Do you use that yourself?
100%. It's a great coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people tend to want to stray off and say like, no, I'm not coping. We're all coping with everything, yeah. You know. So I choose comedy as my vice rather than, you know, a substance or, I mean, comedy and food. I was like, you want me to cook for you? I love to cook. Like,
I'm so nervous what you're going to say there. You're like, comedy and I was like, what? We're live.
No, we're live.
Yeah, because I remember the first, because I remember the first skit that he has made was like, or from the first skits that you've made, as technically like you are talking about your dad and your mom and so on. It was hilarious, and I'm like, this guy is like deep.
Yeah, no, I think comedy is one of the best ways to discuss sensitive topics, whether it's a personal topic or a public topic or a public opinion on something. Comedy is supposed to be like the lubricant to have it like it's like social lubricant, right? You don't need it. Like, it's a great icebreaker. It can make things awkward, but most of the time it makes things like better. Even if it's awkward, at least everyone goes like, "That guy's weird," but then you guys go together. You know? So in any case, it works out. And I think that's my favorite thing about comedy. For me, it's a complete coping mechanism. It makes things so much easier for me to like digest. Because once you laugh at something, you can kind of deal with it right after. Yeah. You know. Or you just leave it as that, and it's like, it's a joke, whatever.
So what's, like, of all the videos that you shared, what do you think is the biggest reaction, positive or negative or supportive or emotive? Like, what's the biggest reaction you've ever gotten in a video?
I think I'm lucky to say that so far it's been consistent on the same. Mm-hmm. I don't really check as many comments, and I tried to just like post and like disappear.
Really?
Yeah, I have my mom who calls me. Someone said they didn't like the video. I'm like, okay, can you please just don't look? Like, I don't need to know. I think.
Mom.
Yeah, of course, moms are always gonna be there, like to do the dirty work, and so I tell her like, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm there to create. Who likes it, they like it. Who don't. My intention isn't to hurt anyone, right? Obviously, it's comedy. And I try my best to find like a middle line between creating this persona and like trying not to like overstep it, which obviously can be blurred depending on the person who's watching. I completely forgot the question. My ADHD, like, I literally thought about orange juice in my mind. But I was like,
well, you're new to there, but because I asked what video got the biggest reaction.
Right. There's a video of me doing this like sewing box. I do this like Egyptian salesman thing in the supermarket. And my friend goes like, "Can I have a sewing kit?" And then I give him a cookie box. You know, I think everyone's grandma like filled it up with sewing equipment. And that picked up like a lot of traction on Instagram. That got like 16 something million views. And then I was basically applying for my passport again, and I don't know how it affected it, but the people at the embassy recognized me from the video, and I got my passport the next day. I'm not going to say what, in case you're not supposed to, but thank you so much. It literally saved my life.
So that's what it's like to be a VIP.
Not really, but it felt like it.
Yeah.
It felt like it.
But like, I have a question actually, because like, what caused the transition from like making like dark humor videos to accents? Because you're very good, by the way, at the accents.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I still do the dark humor. I do it a lot on stage when I do my stand-up. It's a lot of dark humor. It's a lot of crowd work. So I still keep that element there. But what I realized on social media is that you, and as you guys probably know, because this started on social, now look like, you know, it's a knock on wood. Inshallah, no bad. you need consistency. And for me, I struggled because I was working like two jobs. I had a part-time job and a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Even through uni, I had a part-time job. So trying to build consistency was incredibly difficult until I realized that, okay, what's easier to do and what can I consistently do? And the accents became easier because it's something I love to do, and ideas used to just flow to me. So it was easy to repeat that process. Mm-hmm. And because I wanted to grow, I knew I needed to do it every day. So that transition became more about scheduling, I guess.
Yeah, but like, don't people get offended?
Everyone, I mean, look, you being on the show, you mentioned Starbucks 2017, someone's gonna be offended now. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, and if you step into comedy, you're not doing it because you don't want controversy. I don't want controversy. I don't like conflict, but it's there. And no matter what, I had the safest daytime job like you could ever imagine, still conflict. So I was like, all right, you cannot escape it no matter what you do.
What was the safest job?
I was a marketing manager for a software company. Like, it was not like a, I wasn't out here changing the world. I was just like on LinkedIn campaigns, like, you know, like, do you want software? Like, it wasn't really amazing.
What we want to ask about the car wash in uni.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
How did they just came from Massa?
I need context actually, because I didn't know this question.
Oh,
coming.
Yeah, you should give her context.
If you just look at the screen, it's gonna. Oh. So I It was just a rainy day in Dubai, as mm-hmm. as you yeah. do, and open. Like, you know, when it rains, everyone's like woo, or they crash.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We were in. I was in the parking lot in my university, and I realized that there was like a lot of water, and for some reason, I just drove through it, and I was just like super system cleaning, and the water kind of just sprayed a little bit on the cars on the sides. And I mean, it was raining. It was consistent yeah. rain, so it wasn't like I dirtied the car. It's like it washed off anyway. Yeah. But I just drove through, and I kind of yeah. feel that. That was technically my first viral video. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for exposing me again.
Yeah, no, it's the producer inside telling us. She says, oh, by the way, she's as well from AUD, so she's like, yeah.
I probably spared her car. She's like, you know what? Let's put him on the spotlight.
She's also a big fan, and you know, there's so many kind of, I guess, quiet big fans because you're yeah. on social media, before the Netflix doc, right? But yeah. it's coming. But
hopefully.
Like, but what's it like to get recognized? You know, as you slowly grow your audience.
It's very weird. It's very, very weird. Because you know, Dubai is a very small city, so it's normal to run into friends that you have. Like, you'll go into the mall, you'll see someone. Oh, hi. That person. Yeah. You move on. But like, so I'm used to seeing people I know, yeah. but then seeing people that know me that I don't know was a very weird thing to start experiencing. It only really, really hit me like in Seoul, like now, because like there was such a concentrate amount of people. Is that right in English?
Seoul?
Concentrated? Right now? Yeah, Seoul DXB, you know, like, so it's a great event and there's like a lot of people in one spot. And then that was weird because like I'd be like eating midway and someone's like, you want menu? And I'm like, I want to finish my food. Like, so it's an interesting experience, but it's I love seeing people who enjoy the videos because the whole reason I got into this is to make people happy. So to see that live is like, it's a bit of a dream come true. So it's lovely. And most people are respectful. Some people, you know, can really push the yes. boundaries of what's acceptable. But yeah, I guess yeah. when you do comedy, people think like everything's a joke for you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm just like this and then they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm normal. I'm just having a Some people have bad days. So like, yeah. you'll catch me and I'm just like, I'm straight faced and I'm like, oh, hello. It's nice to meet you. But most people yeah. expect the energy immediately. So most of the time it happens because I get excited.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
you have those.
100% because like as a comedian, people are so much like used to you being, I don't know, the funny person
yeah.
throughout. But you know, like it's like putting a stereotype that you are not a person, you know, yeah. they maybe kind of like objectify you in a way.
Yeah.
And like if you say like something like, oh no, I don't want to do that, they go like, oh yeah, he's rude. Do you
yeah,
get that?
I don't say no to much.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll say like do something and then I'm like tired. I'm like, you know. Come to the shows. That's what I start saying from now on. Like, because I do 3 shows a month.
Okay.
So I'm like, come to one of the shows. If you want to see them, I'm tired. Like, it takes a lot of energy sometimes. But I do it most of the time. So, and then most people just want a picture or like a line. So it's okay. You know, they're not asking for too much. But some people like they film and they're like in your face like do this and do this. And I'm like, do you want me to, like what else do you want me to do? Like, sorry, I forgot her line. I could feel her heart go. Like, this guy.
I'm gonna need to get a man up here now.
But yeah, so most of it is lovely. Most of it is lovely, but it's still weird like mm-hmm. getting recognized, like especially at restaurants when you're like, they're like, it's you. I'm like.
Speaking of coming to the shows,
yes.
We've got a big show this weekend.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us, first of all, what can people expect?
If you don't know who Omi Djalili is, you're already have been missing out for like the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the most talented like comedians and actors. I found out about him when I watched The Mummy, the first Mummy movie, like, and from then on, I started to go on YouTube and like go on like little Omi Djalili skits. And he used to do this thing where he would pretend like he's a Polish like engineer and he would just do everything. Anyway, he's an incredible talent. I take a lot of inspiration from him. So if you love accents and you love quick, witty humor, that's what you're going to get from him. It's an honor to open for him. Like, I was super excited when they brought the project to me. Obviously with me, you can expect, you know, a few accents, a few maybe dark humor, you know, just to throw in
yes.
a little fun. With him, you can expect the performance of a lifetime for sure. And now in his like, he's seasoned, you know, he's gone through everything. And so now I'm excited to go watch the show myself because I used to love him growing up. And the only thing you can expect from a comedian who's matured over the years is to take everything that he's done and now have it in such a refined, delivery that I think no one has seen yet. So I'm honored to be a part of the tour and I'm super excited to open as well. So
we are as well. We're super excited.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as well, like, honestly, I'm a fan of comedy myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think I'm funny, but I'm not funny. Yeah, my sister was like, oh, you're lame. But yeah, because I have, yeah. she's sisters are brutal. But yeah, because I love comedy and I have followed you, by the way, ever since, like, you know, you became, my parents are divorced. I'm like, this is the guy that
this is the crypto guy.
This is the guy that could have made me a millionaire.
Yeah. Literally. And by the way, I kept on, like, whenever, like, crypto became, like, a thing, I kept on, like, the whole time being, like, I remembered you in the back of my head. Like, there was this guy.
The problem is, I don't even remember this.
But I do.
Sounds like I would have done.
I do.
Because I have nothing to do with crypto. I don't even have a crypto wallet myself. So that's funny.
Yeah, but I do. I literally do. And the thing is, like, you know, I swear to God, my memory can never fail me. I remember everything. Just like,
I wish we could look back at that moment. I wish we could have a Black Mirror technology.
Yeah.
So it's funny because you mentioned Omid a lot, but you're here on the show because, as you said, you're opening for him. So there's going to be a huge audience down at Dubai World Trade Center.
Yes.
What is it like for you to kind of get on stage in front of that big of a crowd? Do you get nervous?
I get nervous when it's like 20 people. Like, and I do shows reoccurringly, but it doesn't change whether it's 1,000, 2,000, 50,000, or 200. For me, it's the same level of nerves. Obviously, now I'm more nervous because I don't want to disappoint him. I want him to be like, I want him to give me like a. That's all I want. But yeah, it is nerve-wracking thinking about so many people like all just like make me laugh. You know, they're there to see him, right? So me going there, I feel like I'm wasting their time in between, like me and them. But I'm super excited. Like I think nervousness and excitement have the same emotion. They sit in the same place in the body.
Yeah.
So my body doesn't know which one it is. So like I'm sweating and like smiling at the same time. Yeah. So I guess psychopath is
cool. I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling.
100%. I mean, honestly, I do feel that way whenever I go live. Mm. Even though I've been like presenting for like so long right now. But I think Casey and I can both like kind of agree, but like maybe not like in a comedy way.
Yeah. It's interesting how you say you're nervous about what Omid thinks, because you just want his approval.
Like, yeah.
We're mates. however, look, we don't want to give a sneak peek to what's going to happen in the show, but let's give a small one, shall we?
Okay.
So we're going to do a quick game with you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If that's fine. It's called the Accents Game.
Okay. So, so technically what we're going to do is I'm going to hold a card, right? Like that. I can't see what the accent is, but you're going
to
be saying it.
Okay.
But we're going to guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. You do the accent, we guess.
Okay. Should I just mess with you guys or should I like... You do British accent. I'm like, hello, how are you?
Okay.
So, we're going to play the accent game with Sean, aka My Parents Are Divorced. Let's go.
Yeah. Is this fine?
It's upside down.
Oh.
But I can read it. Anyway.
Yeah. It's fine. The producer is standing me in my ear.
So. Yeah. This I can do without a sound. I can see if you guys will recognize it.
Okay.
I like how I can hear them laughing in the production room. You can't get it? You must get it. Come on.
Filipino.
There you go.
How did I not get it?
How long have you been here, kids? You've been here for a minute. You've been here for time. Come on. It's fine.
But come on. You have to do the accent.
I'm so glad I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I was going to be waiting.
Because in the Philippines, they like that. They point with the lips. Because if your hands are busy, you put...
Yeah, I get it. I'm just not that smart.
No.
Casey, you probably threw me like under the bus right now because like people are gonna be like, oh my god, how would you know that from like a facial
expression?
Everyone knows. Well, fine.
Okay. No, I think everyone knows.
No, the second one.
Boss, what can I say for you? don't give me this confusion. You know, you just want me to talk more. You don't know this one?
So
okay. Is this okay? Fill in the blank. You know the ad lib, the game. You know. Okay. Ancient.
Egypt.
There we go.
Thank God Hisham is not here.
Love it. Okay. Love them so much. Okay.
Trouble morning to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ireland.
Oh. Ireland.
He did it properly.
Yeah, of course I did it properly.
That's more like me.
She's Irish.
We go silent on the T's, don't we?
Yeah. But then you also like the mouth opens up wide and then it goes a little bit. He was like, "Chop of the morning tree." Like it narrows down. I think
we're very musical people.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is a musical. It is a musical accent. I will say. I love Irish people. Shout out Ireland.
Yeah. So typical.
It's an Italian. Okay. If I'm doing this and you don't get it, it's a problem for you.
It's a problem. We'll get the pesto.
It's not Mario. That's a nice one.
Were you gonna guess it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I got it.
I did say it. I did say it immediately.
So it was easy. Yeah. So I got it straight away. Yeah. And I think this is the last one.
Okay.
We do things freedom per second here. If you have oil, we will be there. Come on now.
America.
God bless America.
God bless America.
Yes, that is the American accent.
I kind of did just want you to keep going.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yes.
How amazing. Sean, you're an absolute comedy legend.
Thank you so much.
We cannot wait to see how your career continues to move on and on. And guys, if you want to watch him live and in person, he's kicking off the show for Omid Djalali, Namaste, live in Dubai at Rashid Hall Dubai World Trade Center this weekend. Where can people get tickets, Sean?
You can get them on Platinum List. You can just search up Omid Djalali Dubai or just go on Platinum List and see it should be on the first page because that's where he should be. You know? And I'll be posting it up on my socials from today up until the show date. So you can either find it on my stories, you can find it on the World Trade Center, you can find it on Platinum List. And thank you for having me again.
Thank you for being here.
For being back. Sometimes we just need a laugh, and this weekend is bound to be a great show. So guys, that is all we have time for on the show this morning. We're back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And goodbye from them to me.